Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Well, welcome to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Tuesday. We are in the month of December. It is December 1st. Christmas is in, 24 days? Hard to believe. Welcome to today's show, and it is an absolute pleasure to be here. Email should you want to reach out to me directly with questions, comments, feedback about the show. I welcome those. Email is todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @commonsensegear. So anyway, look, there's a lot of things going on in the news, as has been the case for quite some time. It's as though we're getting, a full-fledged assault by the left. I mean, this is typically the way it goes, especially when we get around the holidays, when it becomes weekend time or three-day weekend time, where the left can dump information in our laps, usually on a 5 o'clock on a Friday evening, or they pass a vote, 2 a.m. on Christmas Eve, something along those lines. I'm reminded of things like Obamacare and so forth. But the big government folks are masters of doing things when you and I are not looking. And they know that we're not looking when we have things that are important to do, like take care of our families, earn a living, run a business, take your children to school or homeschool them or take them to sports and coach them or what have you. The left knows that the adults in the room pay attention during prime news consumption times and days of the week, which would be, Monday through Friday. You get up, you watch the news, you get onto Twitter, Facebook, you read your favorite, news source online. You kind of have a routine getting into the, before you get into the office, before you start your day, what have you. Weekends are a little bit different. And of course, the holidays are probably, if you're like most of us, a whole lot different. So we're in that time of year where, first of all, we're nearing the calendar year, and we're nearing, there's always some crisis right around the corner with the way that our government functions. And the current so-called crisis is, of course, this climate change nonsense. And we've talked about this for a while. And we know that Obama and the rest of many of the world leaders are in Paris telling one another that they are saving mankind from imminent destruction by coming up with whatever agreements they are going to come up with, which ultimately leads to things like, talk of things like cap and trade, subsidizing companies like Solyndra that eventually either go out of business or are unable to create a profit without dramatic tax rebates, tax credits for people purchasing their goods and services and products and so forth. Something that involves the government to impose its will upon us. Something that involves the government to limit our ability to choose what's best for our families. Whether it's, changes in emission standards or the size of the automobile that you can drive through how many miles per gallon your vehicle gets. I mean, these are the sorts of things that come from this. Now, it's interesting. I read an article from a leftist who was actually upset about this climate summit for another reason, basically saying that there was nothing substantive that was going to be coming out of this. In fact, the article said something along the lines of the more you, I guess, believe in man-made climate change, the more upset you should be about the things that are going to be coming out of this climate change summit. Now, I know big government folks, and I know that that's essentially the fueling mechanism for this summit. Now, I don't necessarily agree with this individual's take on this. Now, will this be a full-fledged big government, you know, radical change that some of these ultra-leftists want? I mean, who knows? All bets are off. Truly, all bets are off. Well, and I'll tell you, we'll get into it in just a moment. I've got a few sound bites about, from President Obama, courtesy of CNN. But Obama's over there apologizing. He's apologizing to the world for our role, for the United States role. Look, I know we've got listeners from all around the world, and we love it. We love having listeners in China and Ukraine and South Africa and Spain and Portugal, all over the world, Argentina, Brazil, Mexico. You know, we love that. But this is, we're talking primarily here U.S. domestic concerns. Now, of course, when it gets to climate change, this is on a worldwide stage. But everybody knows who's going to pay the bill here. Everyone knows who the golden goose in the room is, and that's the United States of America. Now, of course, we've spun ourselves into oblivion, and at some point, the rest of the world is going to wake up and say that there's nothing left in the coffers of the United States of America because we've spent it all. We've spent it as though it's a race to the spending finish line. But as it stands now, we are the economic driver around the world. We still are. I mean, there's obviously developing economies. There's obviously some places that, frankly, do things better now than the United States. I mean, what's the United States? 12th, 13th, 14th on the Economic Freedom Index or something along those lines, which is inexcusable. The United States should be number one each and every time that this list is put out. Or at least top five, right? But regardless, Obama's over here in Paris apologizing. He's apologizing for the United States. Now, we talked a little bit about this the other day, and this is so backwards to me. I mean, you've all heard this, something along these lines, okay? You've heard some leftist or some, I don't know, hardcore environmentalist or something. Someone along the line, along the way has said something like this to you in your presence, what have you. And it goes something like this. America makes up only 5% of the world's population, but we consume 24% of the world's energy. Now, first and foremost, I want to tell you that is a patently false statement. Because if the United States was in fact consuming 24% of the world's energy, and if in fact the world's energy was not renewable, as they tell you, of course the only things that are renewable are wind, according to the left anyway, wind, solar, I don't know, hydroelectric? Is that, I mean, there may be others, but these are what they'll tell us. Now, when it comes to burning oil and burning coal, of course, there is a limited. They'll use that word to signify that there's not a whole lot left, but I mean it in the more general sense that it is not infinite. It is a finite, maybe I should say that, a finite number, a finite amount of coal and oil on planet Earth. And America has the audacity, says the left, says the big government folks, to have only 5% of the world's population but consume 24% of the world's energy. First of all, that's false, because if we were consuming it, 24% of all the world's energy, that means in a little bit over 4 years, assuming the United States was the only consumer of energy, there would be no energy left in a little over 4 years. What they really mean is that the United States, out of all energy consumed, the United States consumes 24% of that. Now, you may think that that is splitting hairs, but to me, that's the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. Because we're not taking a quarter of what's available in the world and saying it's ours, you know, to hell with everybody else. That is not what we're saying. What we're saying is, go get your own. It's there. What makes consumption possible is market forces in a free market economy, as much as the United States still has one, to go get it, to go make it happen, to go pull it out of the Earth's surface. Just because we're better at extracting it and using it and have the economy to support it doesn't mean that we're using more than we should. Maybe the rest of the world is using less than it should. And if we'd quit condemning the use of energy, I mean, the places that they tell me are the most energy efficient countries on the planet. I mean, I'm not going to mention them by name. I don't want to be insulting. But they are not places that you and I would aspire to emulate. It's nothing against the people. It's about what the governments have allowed the people to do. You know, they're not places where there is wealth. These are not places that are clean with opportunity. These are not places that are prosperous, where there's a lot of longevity and health and overall, you know, content. I mean, look, the people there can be content, but just as the overall quality of life, where there's comfort and rest, and where there's, you know, you actually can build a nest egg and have a home. I mean, those sorts of things in these places that they lift up as these energy consuming examples for the rest of the world are simply people that don't have the funds, the means, the economy to support using energy the way that we do here in the United States and in the developed West. But regardless, we're going to play the soundbite of Obama apologizing to the rest of the world for you and me and how bad we've been at destroying planet Earth and the environment. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. Attention bow hunters, archers, and bow fishermen. It's time to stand up for your bow by introducing it to the Bow Dagger, an all-in-one bow stand, stabilizer, and cam protector. Bow Dagger is the most innovative stand-up stabilizer available today, and it adds the extra benefit of protecting your bow. It is so simple, you'll wonder why it wasn't invented decades ago. Bow Dagger is revolutionizing archery and bow hunting, and it works great in the field and on the range. And for a limited time, listeners of this show will receive a $10 discount on the Bow Dagger when you use the code ANTIDOTE during checkout. So go to bowdagger.com today, shop, and use the code ANTIDOTE during checkout. Bowdagger.com, coupon code ANTIDOTE, ANTIDOTE. Bow Dagger makes a great Christmas gift too. Check it out today. Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. It's Tuesday. It's December 1st, and it's the heart of the holiday season. It is great to be here. Thank you for joining us. Email again, todd@theantidotoliberalism.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, @CommonSenseGear. Before the break, we were talking about this climate summit in France, in Paris. Of course, we talked about yesterday how this was in the shadows of the terrorist attacks here, 2.5 weeks ago now. And they're telling us the biggest threat to mankind is man-made climate change. Now, I reject this completely, 100%. I make unequivocally, I reject this. The number one threat we face, and I said this yesterday, and you can go to yesterday's podcast if you want to listen to that show, but the number one threat we face is worldwide Islamic jihad led by Islamic extremists. That's the biggest threat that we face today. And I think that beyond that, there's another ideology that creates a major problem for creating economies that can actually produce more energy, find new ways to develop technologies that we can, you know, decrease our energy consumption or find alternatives or what have you. If we would get out of the way of individuals and unleash their creativity by having a capitalistic free market society, those things would be more likely to be discovered and to be able to be entered into the marketplace, create a profit for the business that developed them, fill a need for those of us in the marketplace, and potentially drive down the costs of energy. But what prevents that, outside of someone like an Islamic jihadist that wants to kill all of us, that wants to, you know, come with weapons and bombs and fear and terror and taking it directly, the next threat, and I don't mean this in the same manner to where I think that they're dangerous, they are ultimately dangerous, but they're not dangerous directly, head on, like an Islamic terrorist is. Of course, Islamic terrorists operate in the shadows too, but they operate in the shadows to kill you. But the next danger, the next threat that we face is socialism. Socialism is the next ideological threat that limits mankind, that puts us in, well, and a lot of times in harm's way because it's a limiting of resources. It is about rationing. It's about managing what's there instead of unleashing the creativity of mankind to go and find new and better, more profitable ways to produce, fill in the blank, energy, to produce some sort of a good, some sort of a service, whatever that is. The government can't manage and control that as much as they want to. That's what socialism wants to do. They want to control it top down, you know, have a say as to what gets done and what's being offered and the pricing. I mean, it's ridiculous. But nonetheless, the next biggest threat is socialism. And I think, you know, Obama's over there apologizing, when in reality, he should be saying, look, and I don't mean this, you got to be careful how you do this, but my goodness, the world has a lot to thank the United States for, a whole lot. But instead, President Obama is over there saying this.
I've come here personally as the leader of the world's largest economy and the second largest emitter to say that the United States of America not only recognizes our role in creating this problem, we embrace our responsibility to do something about it.
Well, he sure isn't speaking for me there. I did not send him there to take responsibility for creating this man-made climate change problem, so-called, and to accept responsibility for that in my name. I doubt you did either. But he's done that. He's apologized. I mean, he's very good at this. Obama is fantastic at apologizing to the world for, well, anything that America's done. Now, in this case, he's apologizing for our role in creating man-made climate change. Now, I just look at this a little bit differently. I mean, you can go through the list, and just in modern times, right, in the past, I don't know, let's just say 50 years or so. Let's even say less than that. Well, we could go back to even, say, World War II. Think about what we've done for the world. Now, this is not meant to be a pat, you know, to pat ourselves on the back, to beat our chest and say, you know, we're America, the rest of the world is, you know, a bunch of losers. That is not at all what I'm saying. We've had great allies. Other people in the world have done great things as well. But the United States has done more good for the world than the world could have ever possibly asked. We defeated communism. We defeated Nazism. Yes, we defeated it with allies, or even with Soviet allies in World War II. But we defeated Nazism, went on to defeat hardcore Soviet communism. We invented things like GPS, the internet, for those of you that are tech savvy, social media. I mean, all that stuff developed here. The telephone. The Wright brothers developed flight. We built the stinking Panama Canal connecting the Atlantic, or I guess the Gulf of Mexico, but that basically allowed a shorter transit between the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. Our U.S. Navy patrols the world seas, basically ensuring that there's a free flow of trade that's possible. We've protected big chunks of the people of the world. Now, I'm not saying we should or shouldn't have done that. I'm just saying that a lot of countries don't have either an army to speak of, or they don't have big defense budgets, because they know the United States of America will come in and protect them when the chips are down. Look at the majority of scientific and medical breakthroughs. Where do those happen? We landed on the moon. You know, even if you go back to Kennedy and you look at, I mean, we faced real, this is what bothers me. We have faced real problems in this country. You know, I think of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think of the Cold War. I think of, we have a problem today, the War on Terror, and now the development of a new group of terrorists called ISIS. These are real problems. And they're talking about climate change. Look at the amount of wealth that we have created through free market capitalism. I mean, for those of you that are into sports and entertainment, I mean, what, they have the Cannes, film festival or whatever. But where does the bulk of worldwide entertainment and worldwide sports come from? I mean, think of the Super Bowl. Think of the NCAA Final Four. Those things are American inventions. And I am not putting down, other countries have their thing, and I'm not a soccer fan whatsoever. But, you know, the rest of the world has made soccer just a tremendous, tremendous sport. I mean, I look at, you know, track and field. Every chance I get, I will watch. There's some athletes that I will not miss. If I know that they're, you know, competing or whatever. One of those is Usain Bolt from Jamaica. I watch him run the 100, the 200. Anytime I know he's running. I watched the great Anderson Silva. Anytime I knew he was fighting MMA, I would watch that. And those things, the greatness of these athletes is not something that an undeveloped country can produce, because they don't have the freedom to spend training and practicing. They're taking care of their more basic needs. And the United States leads the way in producing major big time sports and entertainment. And we could go on and on and on. I mean, education, just the development of Western civilization in general, the United States has been instrumental in that. I would also tag into this, Christianity had an integral role as well. But the point is, instead of apologizing for this pseudoscience crisis of climate change, which was global warming, which was ice age. I mean, it's been everything you can conceive of. Instead of apologizing for this, taking responsibility, I'm not saying to go up there and beat your chest, but man, the world owes us a lot more than a list of things that we need to apologize for. I mean, this is too much for me sometimes because it reminds me of, you know, the whole refugee, immigrant, illegal immigrant thing that we have going on. I know that they're different issues, but at the end of the day, I'm combining all these issues into one to make a bigger point. People criticize us for not bringing in enough immigrants into the United States. They do. But the United States takes in 1 million immigrants every single year. On average, it's a little over, it's maybe 1.1 million right now is where our current average is, I believe. Now, those are actual immigrants. And we're being chastised by the rest of the world for not taking in enough. Do you know, read this today in preparation for the show, the United States is home to something like 45 million immigrants. That accounts for all the immigrants in the world. That is almost 20% of the world's immigrants live in the United States of America. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. First and foremost is this is a magnet for people to want to come to because although people may not recognize it, it's because of the foundation. You know, people look and say it's a great place to get a job. It's a great place to go for the opportunity. There's a lot of wealth. There's a lot of all this stuff. But I'm taking it a half step further and saying that the reason for that is because of our foundation, our foundational documents, our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and our framework that allowed for free markets to reign and to rule and to provide all these blessings that happen once the government just gets out of the way. And when you look at this climate change summit, at the end of the day, when you strip away all of the blame America first speeches and all of the comparative remarks to ISIS and how this is showing ISIS, which we'll play those right after the break as well. I wanted to get into one other thing, but when you boil down this entire list of things that the climate summit is, it's really the government trying to tell us what we can and can't do. It's the government coming in to fix a problem, frankly, that doesn't exist. And if it does exist, that's not a problem that we can do anything about. And these, of course, are the problems that the government likes, are problems that they can swoop in and be the only people that can save. But that's just not that's not reality. And that's not what made this country great. That's not how you unleash creative solutions as a top-down approach. A bunch of world leaders get together, sit down in a room, boom, problem solved. I mean, it's laughable if you think about it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are. That is utterly ridiculous to think that a group of 6, 10, 12, 20 people can get into a room, hash it out over a fancy dinner in a couple of hours, problem solved, right? It's just, it insults our intelligence is what it does. So anyway, when we get back after the break, I want to play one more soundbite, maybe two more soundbites, they're related, regarding the Paris Climate Change Summit. And I want to talk a little bit about our dear friend Hillary Clinton and just some more bad email news. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing or promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information, and you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Tuesday, December 1st, and it is a pleasure to be here. Before the break, we were talking about the Climate Change Summit, and I promised to talk a little bit about Hillary in just a moment. We try not to do that unless we have to, and as fate would have it, we have to today. But regardless, back to the Climate Change Summit. In addition to blaming America for causing, just for setting the world on fire, figuratively and potentially literally in the eyes of the left, President Obama says that we're basically showing ISIS here. I mean, ISIS can shoot us, they can blow us up, they can take airplanes out of the sky, but by golly, we are going to solve the issue of climate change right before their very eyes, and they aren't going to know what to do. In fact, if you listen closely, once we have our world leaders leave this meeting, I imagine you are going to hear collectively weapons go to the ground. People that were diehard jihadists are going to realize the folly of their ways, and they are going to embrace President Obama and the rest of the world leaders involved in saving the planet from climate change. Because the lessons taught through this climate change summit will pierce through even the hardest heart of the jihadists on the field of battle tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this. The words that come out of the climate change will find their way to the jihadists and basically bring him to his knees, because they will not know what to do once they hear the beauty, the hope, the love and the respect and the dignity and the all-out reverence for planet Earth that comes out of this summit. They won't know what to do with themselves. And here's Obama's comments about just that.
What greater rejection of those who would tear down our world than marshaling our best efforts to save it.
What do you think about that, ISIS? We showed you up. You can be bombing and shooting and terrorizing, but we're out climate changing. We're out saving the planet, because we know that it's climate change that drives refugees into other parts of the world. We know that it's climate change that makes people irritable, that helps them, that makes them believe that the contributors to climate change, namely the United States of America, that we're the problem. We're making it hotter in their communities. We're not providing them with free air conditioning and ice cream. So they take up the cause of global jihad, and they come after the United States of America. So I'm guessing that when this summit concludes, among a host of other things that we are going to be told that comes from this, including the world being saved, let's not overlook that. We are going to hear ISIS putting down their weapons and basically thanking us, coming over to our way of life and telling us thank you, telling Barack Obama thank you for saving the planet, for saving their communities from global warming, from climate change. I can already see the more you know, or some PSA now thanking President Obama. This stuff's too much for me. I don't want to talk about this anymore. One more quick thing and we're going to wrap up. Did you see that there were more emails released for Mrs. Clinton? I don't have the exact number here. It was a few thousand. I want to say it was it 3,000? Is that what it was? Regardless, in those emails, they found 325 classified emails. This is in an article in the Washington Times. 325 classified emails and one secret email. This brings the total Well, the total of this particular release, 6.3% of her emails that were released were marked as confidential or higher. 6.3%. And it was 5,000 emails. I thought it was 3,000. So 325 emails from Mrs. Clinton were classified, and one was secret. Excuse me, I'm saying they were classified as confidential. I'm sorry. The classification of her emails was actually confidential on 325 of these, and one was deemed as a secret email. 6.3% of the latest emails released. And I thought these were all emails about yoga poses and, you know, downward dog, upward dog. You may have had a email or two between Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Lil Wayne maybe have sent in a few emails to Hillary. Taylor Swift. I don't even want to say that. I'm a Taylor Swift fan, but I read a couple, months ago that she was endorsing Hillary. So anyway, I don't want to talk about that. But regardless, we've got Hillary Clinton, more emails, more scandal. Again, every time the woman makes the news, every single time, it's controversy. It's bad news. So I don't even know when the next Democrat debate is. I'm pretty sure it's on a Sunday. I know we have one coming up on a Sunday, and then they're well advised to keep Mrs. Clinton hidden. Well played. Well played, Democrats. Well played, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I don't blame you. I would hide them too, because every time she comes out, we've got a problem on our hands. Well, she does anyway. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for me today. It's been a pleasure to be here as always. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Email, should you have any thoughts, comments, suggestions, I'd love to hear from you. Email us, todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com. Show notes, if you want to check those out, will also be available on our website, theantidotetoliberalism.com, and Twitter, if you want to connect with us there, @commonsensehere. But guys, it's going to wrap it up for me today. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.